Welcome, and thank you all for standing by. At this time, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, please press star one. I would like to remind parties today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I am now turning the conference over to Mr. Greg Case. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Danielle. Welcome. Thank you for participating in this Grants.gov teleconference sponsored by the U.S. Administration on Aging in cooperation with the Department of Health and Human Services Grants.gov Support Center. Our purpose today is twofold. First, we hope to inform potential AOA grant applicants about Grants.gov and the many advantages it offers federal grant applicants. Secondly, we want to explain the registration process required before grant applicants can take full advantage of the services of Grants.gov. This is the fourth teleconference call we've held covering these topics. Over 600 individuals have been registered and participated. Our speakers today include Arthur Miller with the Administration on Aging. Arthur is AOA's lead Grants.gov contact and is available to assist you in understanding and accessing www.grants.gov. Myself, Greg Case with AOA Center for Planning and Policy Development, and Keenan James, the Grants.gov Program Advisor for the Department of Health and Human Services. We've been assisted throughout the process of these teleconferences by James Gayarza, who provides support to AOA's Grants Program. Following our presentation today, as Danielle explained, we'll open the call for your questions and comments. As Arthur and I speak, please jot down any questions you may have to ask after the presentation. We have nearly 150 participants registered today and plan to stay on the call until all of your questions are answered. As you know, a copy of today's presentation is available on our website, www.aoa.gov. On the menu, it will be located under AOA Grant Programs and then click on Grants.gov. You'll find it about halfway down the page. It's a very large file, so it may take a while to download. We recommend that you follow along with this presentation, either a hard copy or on your computer screen, as we go through the slides. If you're following along on your computer, we further recommend that you forward through the slides manually as we indicate slide changes. Okay, and with that, let's turn to slide two of the presentation. The Grants.gov program is a multi-agency initiative covering 900 different grant programs from currently 26 different grant-making organizations. It's really a simple system for all customers of federal grants with two main functions, finding grants and applying for grants, both of which we'll talk about in more detail later on. This is just one of many federal cross-agency e-government initiatives trying to improve our services via the Internet. Slide 3 points out that Grants.gov has a number of advantages. Grants.gov is a single source to find federal government-wide grant opportunities. It provides a secure and reliable source to apply for these opportunities, and it really helps you to avoid the need to learn multiple agency or program-specific application processes and systems. It's a single, simple system. Please note that AOA is no longer required to post a notice of grants opportunities in the Federal Register. Like other federal agencies, we will be using Grants.gov as our official notification of funding, as our official notification site of funding opportunities. Slide 4 focuses on other advantages of Grants.gov. For example, an agency only need register once to be able to submit all future applications via Grants.gov. And as Arthur will explain, large agencies can assign multiple individuals authority to submit grant applications. On Grants.gov, applications are simple to submit and are more accurate due to built-in error checking and editing functionality. Submitting applications via Grants.gov ensures prompt receipt by AOA, avoiding the delays that sometimes occur when you use a postal or courier service. These are just a few of the advantages of Grants.gov. AOA's Grants.gov fact sheet is on our www.aoa.gov website and lists a number of other advantages you may want to look at. Slide 5 focuses on the two main functions of grants.gov: finding grant opportunities and applying for grant opportunities. Let's focus first on the find function in slide number 6. For the find function, you can use any criteria from among several to find grant opportunities. You might know a CFDA number that you're interested in seeing what opportunities are available, or you may want to check opportunities listed by a certain agency or during a certain date and time frame. To make it even easier, you could subscribe to an email service that will send you e-notification of all funding opportunities or select funding opportunities, again based on the criteria that you select, certain SCFDA numbers or certain agency names or activity categories, etc. Okay, on slides 7 and 8, we're going to take a look at the features of the apply function of grants.gov. The apply function allows you to download applications, review them, complete them offline. In essence, you can have multiple individuals working on an application, as many of you have always done in the past, so that you can share it and route it and review it. And once you've got the downloaded application, you can treat it as you often do other applications. Slide 8 lists some additional features. For example, you won't be able to submit an application via grants.gov until all forms are complete and safe. If you try and submit before that's happened, you're going to get a message that tells you that, you know, this form hasn't been completed, or asks you if it needs to be, and until everything has been saved. You'll get an application summary then that allows you to confirm that what you've just completed is being submitted to the correct agency, and then the application will be uploaded to grants.gov. You'll get a confirmation both online, and it'll be submitted to you via email. Note, please, that once an application deadline passes, you can no longer physically submit an application via grants.gov. You'll have to then, if the due date is surpassed, you're unable to submit a hard copy either. Slide 9 outlines the three-step registration process that Arthur Miller is going to focus on for us today. Basically, the three steps are, first, you've got to register with a central contractor registry, and then you've got to be authenticated through a credential provider. Finally, you'll log in to grants.gov as a verified member. And again, as I mentioned before, you only have to register one time, and then all future applications can be submitted via grants.gov. The process for registration, as Arthur will explain, is fairly simple. But you have to keep in mind that it could take 7 to 14 days for you to go through the entire three-step process. And again, as I mentioned before, if you work for a large agency, you'll want to check to see if your agency has already registered. Okay, customer support, as described on slide 10, is also a really important feature of grants.gov. There's a number of user support tools that are available to you on this website, you know, online tutorials, frequently asked questions, etc. You'll notice that on the last two pages of this slide presentation, Arthur's listed a number of these resources and the URLs to get you there. In addition, you can contact the grants.gov support center at 1-800-518-4726. Support's also available through AOA, and if you go to our website at www.aoa.gov, if you go to slide 14 of this presentation, there's a URL listed that will take you directly to our AOA procedures for grants.gov, and on that form, you'll see the contact information for Arthur Miller, both by phone and by email. And you can contact him at any time during normal business hours to answer any of your questions. Slide 11 reviews the registration process in more detail. Arthur's going to expand on this, so I just want to take a minute to talk about the DUNS number, which is noted under the first bullet of this slide. AOA has actually been requiring that grant applicants have DUNS numbers for a couple of years now. A DUNS number is simply a unique 9-digit number sequence recognized as a standard for identifying and tracking businesses worldwide. U.S. government has required suppliers, contractors, and grantees to have a DUNS number for some time now. Finally, on slide number 12, it's kind of a view of what the grants.gov homepage looks like. You'll notice circled at the top is a button that says Getting Started. And that's where you go to actually begin your registration process. So, to discuss that process, I'm now going to turn it over to Arthur Miller to review the grants.gov registration process.
Thanks, Greg. During my portion of the presentation, I'm going to go into a little more detail on several of the subject areas that Greg mentioned earlier. As you'll note on slide 13, here is where you can go into the various places of user support. And if you'll note in the upper right-hand corner, you can do this by either clicking on the Help button, which will take you into a Welcome to Grants.gov screen. And by clicking on the next button that you see on those pages, it will take you through a step-by-step process of the electronic submission on Grants.gov. Or you can click on Customer Support, which will take you into the Customer Support screen. Here you'll find needed information that will get you through the electronic submission process also. You'll find contact numbers, tutorials, and quick references for Grants.gov. Please note, at the end of each slide, I will ask you to take a few seconds to jot down any questions you may have pertaining to that slide before I move on to the next slide. On slide 14, we have Getting Started with AOA Procedures. Since using grants.gov over the past year and working with our grantees, we have found that the majority of questions asked were where do I start and at what step? So these are AOA procedures, and they're fashioned in a more logical order, and we strongly recommend that you use these steps. Please note the URL at the bottom of the slide, and this is a direct link to a hard copy of the AOA grants procedures. Also note that the blue underlined steps are hot links that will take you directly in to the specific step on the grants.gov website. And what I'm going to do now is just quickly run through the steps that we have on our AOA procedures. The first step, getting started, is with the register with the Central Contracting Registry. Your organization will need to be registered with the Central Contracting Registry. You can register with them online. This will take you about 30 minutes or so to do online. You will receive a CCR registration within 3 to 5 business days. You'll note that it says this may take up to 10 to 14 business days, and this includes the entire process of the registration. This is a very important step here because it may take a little more time if you have a large agency because you will need to find out who will hold the specific roles within your agency, which I'll go into a little more detail later. The second step is registering with the credential provider. You register with the credential provider, and you will receive a username and password. This will require you to securely submit your grant application in grants.gov. This step may take 3 to 5 business days. A special note, grants.gov currently supports associating only one DUNS per credential. Future enhancement is planned to provide the ability to assign multiple DUNS numbers for a credential. Step 3 in the registration process is registering with grants.gov. This is the final step in getting started to register with grants.gov. This will be required to submit applications on behalf of your organization. After you have completed this registration process, you will receive an email notification confirming that you are able to submit applications through grants.gov. At step 4, you will log into grants.gov. And at step 5, you're now ready to download your application and prepare it for submission. A special note is if you have a problem installing your PeerEdge viewer, which you will need to view the application package, it could be due to security permissions within your agency, and you may need technical support to download that for you on your desktop. And finally, in step 6, you finding your grant opportunity and applying for the grant. And you'll note again that my name and number is listed on the bottom of this page also, so I'm available for your contact. If there's any questions about this slide, please take a few seconds to jot down your notes. And we'll move on to slide 15, from grants.gov Getting Started. Please note that this is a new Getting Started screen on grants.gov. There have been some updates, so it may look slightly different if you view the grants.gov website over the past 3 weeks to a month. There are general five basic steps for the process, and grants.gov uses for the electronic submission. Step one, you will find the grant opportunity and download the application package. And step two, you will click on the Get Started tab and begin the online registration process. Select one of the four grants.gov user roles, each with a step-by-step instruction to complete the registration. Depending on the roles, these steps may include registering with the CCR, the credential provider, and with grants.gov. And step four, you will complete the grant application, and in step five, you will submit the grant application electronically to grants.gov. If any questions with slide 15, please take a few seconds to jot down your notes. And our next slide, slide 16, is grants.gov help and tutorials. If at any time you need assistance from grants.gov, you can do this through customer support by clicking on the customer support button in the upper right-hand corner at any time. When you click on this button, you will get a variety of useful help. If you'll notice the links on the left-hand side of figure one, there's a tutorial that will take you into the getting started steps, and we recommend, again, that you should start with the first step of registering with the Central Contracting Registry. This is the most time-consuming step, and I'll explain that a little bit later in more detail. If there's any questions with this slide, take a few seconds to jot down your notes. And in slide 17, we start with the registration with the CCR. Now, this is the starting point for getting started, and you'll notice the quick links on the left-hand side of figure one. There's a drop-down window which defaults to select a topic. Select register your organization, and that will take you into the next screen, figure two. If there's any questions here, take a few seconds to jot those down. And slide 18, notice here that on the screen in grants.gov website, if you run your cursor along the eBiz point of contact or the AOR, you'll get a definition of what those roles are. In figure two of the slide, you'll note the URL that will take you directly into the CCR website, and that's www.ccr.gov. And if there's any questions pertaining to this slide here, take a few seconds to jot down your notes. And in slide 19, you'll notice that the CCR website, the www.ccr.gov, is found just under the heading, What is the Process? And if you notice the links in figure two of the slide, if your organization is already registered with the CCR and you need to make any updates to your registration, you can do so here by clicking on the button that says Update Your Registration. If you have not registered, you can start the registration process here also by clicking on the Start Registration. If there's any questions on slide 19, take a few seconds to jot them down. In slide 20, we're continuing with the registration with the CCR, and it's important here that you'll have to figure out who in your agency is going to hold the specific role. Prior to submitting grant applications through grants.gov, an organization needs to identify key roles required for submission process. Depending on the organization, the following roles may be held by one or more individuals. And there's three key roles. That's your e-business point of contact, your POC. The e-business point of contact determines who is allowed to submit grant application packages via grants.gov on behalf of an organization. This safeguards an organization from individuals who may attempt to submit a grant application packages without permission. Only one e-business POC can be assigned per organization's DUNS number. The authorized organization representative, which is referred to as the AOR, this is the authorized organized representative, will have the ability to submit applications on behalf of an organization. This privilege should be provided only to those individuals who currently have signature authority for submitting grant applications. The name of the individual designated as an AOR will be populated by the system in grant application package forms, which require signatures. An organization can assign as many AORs as necessary. And the application author, which is the AA, the application author is the individual who prepares the grant application package but does not have signature authority to submit the grant application package. Registration is necessary for AAs. For instructions on how to download a grant application package, refer to this URL, which is www.grants.gov, found under Apply. If there's any questions pertaining to this slide, please take a few seconds to jot them down. Now, slide 21 is still continuing with the CCR. Grants.gov requires that individuals who like to submit grants on behalf of their organization, the authorized organization representatives, register with grants.gov. And you'll find a registration checklist for the AOR, which is shown here, and this is a very helpful tool for the AOR to check to make sure that they've done everything that they need to do as the AOR role. If there's any questions pertaining to slide 21, please jot your notes down. And in slide 22, please note the quick links on the left-hand side of the slide. You will find various different checklists pertaining to the organization. You'll find a checklist for the eBiz POC, the AOR, the AA. These registration worksheets are very helpful for recording all of your agency's information for the CCR registration. And this is a, you'll find a link for the registration worksheet. And if you notice in figure two, we've drawn attention to the marketing partner ID number, which is referred to as the MPIN. And this is the password that is created by the POC of your agency, and it's needed in the credential provider registration. If there's any questions here, please take a few seconds to jot them down before we move on to the next slide. And in slide 23, we'll begin the registration process with the credential provider. After receiving your confirmation of your CCR registration, your next step is registering with the credential provider. The credential provider for grants.gov is the Operational Research Consultant, which is referred to as the ORC. When you register with the ORC, you will receive a username and password, which you will need to register with grants.gov as the authorized organization representative. As the AOR, you will be authorized to submit grant applications through grants.gov on behalf of your organization. Note that the eBiz point of contact for your organization will need to assign these rights once you have registered with grants.gov. And if you'll note at figure two on the right-hand side, this is where you will need to enter your DUNS number to continue the credential provider registration. If there's any questions that you may have with this slide, take a few seconds to jot them down. In slide 24, we start registration with grants.gov. Once your user ID and password are received from the credential provider, your registration, your next step is in grants.gov. Once you have registered the credential provider, you will need to register with grants.gov as the authorized organization representative. As an AOR, you will be authorized to submit grant applications to grants.gov on behalf of your organization. Guidance on this process is included in the tutorial, the user guide, and the help section of the grants.gov site. Just click on either the customer support tab, the tutorial link, or the help button for assistance. Enter the username and password from registering with the credential provider. You will then be asked to provide identifying information and your organization's DUN number. After you have completed the registration process, grants.gov will notify the eBiz point of contact for assignment of user privileges. If there's any questions here, take a few seconds to jot down your notes. And in slide 25 is the grants.gov registration checklist. The checklist can help guide your organization to complete the registration steps required to submit grants online for grants.gov. And if you'll notice here, there's a checklist for your organization. There's a checklist for the eBiz point of contact. There's a checklist for the authorized organization representative. And there's also a checklist for the registration process for the contracting registry. So all of these checklists are very helpful, and it's recommended. We do that strongly that you should print out a checklist for each one of these and follow through. And if there's any questions pertaining to slide 25, please take a few seconds to jot it down. And on these final two slides, you'll notice that these are some of the useful links that we've provided for you. There's the link to download your PureEdge Viewer, the registration notices for issuance of new grants defined, the access to the user guide, the worksheet on the CCR, obtaining the credential provider, registration with grants.gov. There's also a link for your CFDA numbers. On slide 27, you'll find links for grant opportunities, application systems to systems interface. There's a training link for demonstration packages. There's a customer support link. There's a link to succeed the newsletter subscription, outreach and communication resources, and the final link is customer feedback and finding reports. This concludes our presentation today. And if Greg, you have any questions or
no questions at this time. Danielle, why don't we go ahead and start accepting questions from participants?
Thank you, sir. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. One moment, question, sir. And first question will come from Susan Shea. Madam, your line is open.
My question is it okay to go online and do all of the registration process at any point in time, anticipating that at some time down the line we may want to apply for one of the grants, but not necessarily in the process of doing a grant application right at that time?
Yes, indeed. We recommend that you do that since it's a one-time process and you'll be ready at any time when you find a grant opportunity that you'd like to apply for, you're ready to go.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Next question will come from Andrea Nadei. Your line is open.
Is the grants.gov system different than the e-grant system through the Department of Education?
Keenan, are you with us this afternoon? Our participant from the Department of Health and Human Services grants.gov support center is not with us. I believe that it might be a different system, but I couldn't swear to that. Grants.gov is used by a number of agencies besides Health and Human Services, and it's part of a broader federal e-grants initiative, but I believe that it might be different. Andrea, if you give us your email address, we'll give you the we'll get the answer to that question and get back to you.
Okay, sure. It's Andrea N, as in Nancy, at EasterSealsMA.org.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Next question will come from Jeffrey Kaufman. Sir, your line is open.
Okay, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions, actually. How do you accept signed documents through grants.gov? In other words, things like letters of support that are signed by the governor and that kind of thing. And the second question is, can you tell us, does your system have in there somewhere that we can find if our agency has somebody who holds a role as you've described them? Is there a way that you can do a lookup so that we don't have to search through our organization to find that out?
To answer the first part of your question,
hold on just a second.
You can attach in the application package, if you have access to a scanner, you can attach those as other documents. If you're not able to do that, once you've submitted the application, you'll get a confirmation number. And what we suggest you do is you can fax those to us and attach that confirmation number so we know that those letters of support are part of the submitted application.
And then your second question was, how can you find out whether or not your agency is already registered and who the AORs are, I believe. Is that correct?
Right.
If you have access to your agency's DUNS number, you could call grants.gov and see if someone is already registered and you have the TPIN and MPIN number. But other than that, you would have to search within your agency to see if somebody has, you know, already gone through that CCR registration.
So if you have the DUNS number, you just call that phone number listed on page 10, 1-800-518-4726.
And ask them specifically if that DUNS number has been already registered with the CCR.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the question.
Catherine Maley, your line is open.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. I just have a question in that, do I have to register on the system before downloading an application?
No, you don't. If you have the CFDA number or you found an opportunity, as long as you have the PureEdge viewer downloaded on your workstation, you can view the application. You can start to fill the application out, but you would not be able to submit it until you've gone through the registration process.
Because I have been trying to download an application for the last 2 days, so would you guess that it's a problem with the PureEdge viewer?
That's very possible.
Okay.
You want to make sure that you have the correct CFDA number, and if there's a funding opportunity number, if you know that, make sure you have those correct.
Are you saying, Catherine, that you found the opportunity that you want, you just can't download it?
Yes,
or you
it's
can't
not downloading.
It.
It'll sit. It'll go to the actual website page, but it will just sit and not actually download anything.
Huh. And you have already downloaded off the site the PureEdge viewer?
I believe so, yes. I'll check that again.
Yeah, I would double check that. That sounds like it's possibly the problem.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Call us if that doesn't work, or go ahead and give a call to grants.gov, either one.
Okay, thank you very much.
Susan Shea, your line has been reopened.
Yes, if we are already registered, will the system itself tell us that if we go online and start into the registration process? Will it come up and say you're already registered, or does it need to be the phone call to grants.gov to determine that?
Which part of the registration step are you talking about? With the CCR?
Well, I'm not sure.
Wait, if you enter the DUNS number.
Yeah, I think it will give you some sort of, I'm not sure what the exact error message is, but it's going to be something in reference to already being registered or having that T-PIN or M-PIN number.
That's okay. That's a good way to check it, Susan. Good idea.
Okay, thanks.
Linda Lone Klein, your line is open.
Yes, hello. I have a question regarding slides 22 and 23. If I understand correctly, we will have two passwords, one created by the point of contact and one provided by the ORC. And if that is correct, which password do we use to register with grants.gov?
Well, grants.gov, you get a username and password from the registration with the credential provider. And that's what you're registering is your username and password in grants.gov. That the T-PIN number that you get and the M-PIN number that's created from the CCR registration is used for the registration with the credential provider.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Melanie Kaufman, your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Are you required to submit the grant application electronically only, or can you also submit an application via mail?
We still allow applications to be received via mail at the Administration on Aging. I understand there are some agencies throughout federal government that no longer do accept applications in any way other than through grants.gov. But at this time, all of our opportunities can be submitted through grants.gov, but we'll still accept a hard copy via mail or courier service as well.
Thank you.
Karen Sylvester, your line is open.
Thank you. We have several people who, and one of whom has a question, if you can just ask your question.
Yes, we currently use the e-grant system with the Corporation for National and Community Service. Would that mean we are registered, or are these two separate systems and would we be required to register with grant.gov?
Okay, again, I'm not very familiar with the e-grant system that you may be using, but if you are indeed going through grants.gov, then they are one and the same.
Thank you. No, we're not.
You're not. Yeah, I think this is like the question that we had earlier from Andrea, and we believe those are two separate systems, and you would still have to register for grants.gov. But again, if you'd give us your email as well, we will send you that response once we've checked on it.
Thank you.
You want to give me your email
address? Would you like that now?
Sure.
I, Miles, M-Y-L-E-S, at co.pg.md.us.
Very good. We'll get back to you on that very soon.
Holly Dobson, your line is open.
Thank you. This goes back to the registration with grants.gov and the username and password found on, let me see, page 24, slide 24.
Uh-huh.
If we are applying, do we need to use the username and password that was originally used during registration? And if so, is that saved somewhere? So if the person who originally did the registering loses this, you know, we have it somewhere.
There's, on the registration worksheet, it asks for a backup to each one of those roles.
Okay.
And I would strongly suggest that, you know, somewhere within your agency, these passwords are kept in the safe place. They should, the AOR is the person who's going to have access to and needs those passwords to submit the application. When you submit the application, it will ask you for that username and password again to verify that it is the AOR who's submitting the application.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Karen Wood, your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Since there may be changes in personnel, especially of those people who are allowed to the AA, how do you reflect those in this process?
First of all, anybody can be an AA. You don't have to register to be an AA. So that, you know, just as it is at your agency now, you might have, you know, a number of different people, depending on the opportunity, writing a grant application.
But it's, as Arthur said, with the AOR and with the POC, you really want to have a secondary person or a substitute person that's also familiar with the role, and the secondary AOR person would also have the password and user ID information to be able to play that role if, in fact, the actual AOR, for example, leaves the agency.
Okay, thank you.
Elaine Wang, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Our agency is not a nonprofit agency. It's a city agency. And my question is, and I don't know if you can answer this, but are the grants available through grants.gov available to city agencies as opposed to nonprofits?
Yes. Federal grants are, you know, every grant opportunity is different. But in general, there are grant opportunities available through the federal government and AOA specifically. Some are directed towards states, might be directed towards tribal organizations. They might be directed towards area agencies on aging, or they might be directed specifically towards nonprofits and other community aging services providers. So, you know, each funding opportunity will specify in the section on eligibility exactly who can apply for that opportunity.
Thank you.
Michael Levin, your line is open.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. I'm asking about the Pure Edge Viewer. If we say, for instance, we have several people working on the same application, does everybody working on that application need to download the viewer?
If they're going to be working at individual workstations, yes. Everybody.
Each individual workstation, okay.
It's sort of like downloading Adobe Acrobat. You know, if you're just going to hand them a hard copy and they're going to scratch notes in the corner, obviously it's not necessary, but it's like having Adobe Acrobat. If they're going to work on it online, they sure would.
Okay, I'm looking at the site, and I only see the download button for a Macintosh version. But can you point me to where the download is for an...
What slide is that, Arthur?
If you go to the slide that I referred to for the AOA procedures...
Yes.
Slide 14.
Just a moment. I'm going to put you back on speaker so my coworker can't hear.
Okay.
Okay, slide 14.
Slide 14, yes. That's the AOA's procedures that we did here.
Yeah.
And if you'll notice, if you scroll down, it's near the bottom of the page, you'll see the Pure Edge Viewer. It's in step 5.
Okay, thank you.
If you click on that, that will take you directly into where you download the Pew Edge Viewer on grants.gov.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
At this time, sir, I show no questions.
Okay, well, if there are no more questions, we'd just like to thank everyone for attending. We will get back to those of you that we got email addresses from to follow up and answer your questions. And, of course, any of you that have follow-up questions after the call is over today, please feel free to contact Arthur Miller or give a call to grants.gov Support Center. And, again, thank you very much.
That concludes today's conference. You may disconnect. Thank you.